Giddy up.
My name is Cody-san.
Cody-san, are you ready to record?
I am ready to record.
This is the most racist shit we have ever done.
Especially at the top of the podcast.
And that's why you're listening to the Dan and Cody podcast, episode 154.
Michael, play it.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
We Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Wow.
Holy good God. That was intense. That's the first time Dan and I have ever listened to the intro while we're recording.
Oh, I'm like amped.
Like it amps me up do that.
We
Dan.
Were missing that.
We were like, that's what we need at the beginning of our podcast. Like you, the listener, gets it.
Yeah.
You hear it. And then we're diving into like energy and power and like,
and like since episode one,
right,
or whenever we introduced that theme song,
right,
since episode 100, all of that hypeness,
right,
has all been manufactured.
It's all been manufactured, but not anymore, ladies and gentlemen.
I am really fucking amped.
Yes,
right now.
Yes, you are. Yes, we are.
And if you didn't recognize,
right,
I said, Michael, play it. And I wasn't lying.
That's right. You weren't lying.
We lost Michael Tabb.
We lost Michael Tabb, the great producer extraordinaire. And Dan and I, we scrambled.
We were like, what do we do?
What are we going to do? We need to find a replacement.
How the fuck are we going to edit this thing? We're lazy.
Yeah, we don't have all of the time in the world.
Yeah.
But today is the day that we found a new Michael.
We found a new Michael. New Michael is a machine.
He is a machine. We have programmed Michael to do what we need. So there is very minimal editing that's going to be needed on the Dan and Cody podcast. Only when Dan says really, really racist shit.
Right. So this new Michael,
yes,
not Michael Tabb,
mm-hmm,
this is Michael Rode.
This is Michael Rode, podcaster pro. Hey, we got to give a shout out to those guys. Like we are using this Rode Podcaster Pro. It's fucking amazing.
We're not even sponsored.
We're not even sponsored, but we're speaking our minds here. It's $600, people.
Woo!
And it allows you to do so much from your fingertips where you don't have to worry about doing really any editing if you take care of yourself.
Right. So like, you know how every time we have a segment and you hear that cool little swooshy sound?
Oh, I know that.
Guess what?
What?
Boom!
Boom!
We just
did that with our fingers.
We just fucking did that in the fucking episode.
We did what, Dan?
Swooshy thing! Holy shit!
We just swooshed that shit. It's so weird, Dan. Like, you know, you got any good jokes?
Yeah.
Give me one.
Okay, guy walks into a McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
Slips on a French fry.
Oh, sure.
Sues the place.
I don't know.
Boom! New toy.
New toy. Dan and I got a new toy, and it's gonna change the game.
It is. Michael, we miss you, but welcome, Michael Rode.
Yeah, what's interesting is Michael Tabb never had a touchscreen.
No.
But now Michael Rode's got a touchscreen.
We're touching all on that screen.
All over the screen, pushing the dials up as far as they go. Anyway. Super dope.
This is beautiful. We're sure we're recording right now.
Oh, it says it. It's counting down numbers, so it's looking better than it did before.
Okay.
And anyway.
We got an SD card in this thing.
Yeah, there's an SD card. We could record for 185 hours right now on the card I got in there.
Say what?
185 hours.
By Jove, you've done it.
By Jove, we've done it. Anyway. I don't want to dive too long into this cool little mechanism that we're playing with now moving forward at the Dan and Cody podcast, but I definitely, you know, have to say thank you, Rode, for building exactly what we need to make the stuff you want.
and to not go to bed at 4 a.m.
Absolutely. So it's going to work out. Anyway.
Cody, dude.
What's up, buddy?
Moxie constantly talks about a ghost in her room.
She's got a ghost in her room.
She's like, Mom, it's a ghost. I'm scared. But then, like, it's cool. Like, she's...
Like, the ghost's cool, or she's just cool about the ghost being in the room?
She's kind of, like, she just fakes that she's scared of the ghost, but is... It's like, she's not, like, freaking out about it.
Right.
She's sort of putting it on.
Right.
But Jenny sometimes entertains it. Like, where is the ghost? Blah, blah. We've had this conversation before where I'm like, you got to just, like, not pay that any mind.
Right.
You can't give it legs.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, she's going to start thinking she's, like, reincarnated from... From Sarah Winchester's ghost.
Right. Somebody's watching Supernatural. Somebody's watching Supernatural.
No. I'm definitely. Is that a thing?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I know. I've been to the Sarah Winchester house, but I haven't seen the movie or Supernatural. I just know the story.
Oh, okay. I don't know who Sarah Winchester is, but the Winchesters are the boys in Supernatural. That's their two character names.
Sarah Winchester.
Sam and Dean.
Sarah Winchester is a real person whose husband was Winchester, like rifles.
Right.
She believed she was being haunted by the people who died by her husband's gun.
Uh-huh.
And they told her to like build this house and to build
it. You went to that house?
Yeah.
The crazy house with like 140 rooms and they're like all weird and shit?
Yeah. She like built it to like trap them and like doors with no fucking handles and
weird
staircases that go to nowhere. She was a real nut.
Absolutely. She would have had to have been.
Real nutcase. But anywho, I found an article this week about things that children say to their parents that have like creeped them out.
Really?
Yeah. And I want to play a little game with you.
Okay.
Of like, what would you give them legs? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, I created a scale for you. So there's a scale of 3. So you can either laugh off the comment the child made.
Right.
You can entertain the idea.
Interesting. Okay.
Or you confront the evil.
Whoa.
Like, this is just out of control.
We need to have a talk. Why'd you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
All right. So I'm going to read a couple of these to you. Some are really, really funny. Now, this is things that kids have said in real life to their parents.
Yep. And Dan has, just so everybody knows, Dan sourced this stuff. He knows kids have said this. So don't second guess him. He knows what he's talking about. Dan?
Right. Okay. One child just wrote on a dry erase board in their house, "I can smell your fear."
One child wrote on a dry erase board and you're on your house, "I can smell your fear." Okay. Yeah.
Do you laugh that off, entertain it, or do you like confront the evil? Is that too much for you?
Here's where I react. Is he writing it slowly on the board and I'm in the room, and then he turns around and doesn't put the cap on the dry erase marker
and like eats
and just stares at me?
That would
like
be
dead
scary.
Face. That's scary.
Yeah.
If he says that, I laugh it off. I'm not thinking twice.
You're like, whatever.
Right.
Okay. So one kid talked to their dad, and he says, "Daddy, I'm gonna eat you up." And then the dad says, "Aw." And then the kid responds, "Yeah, I'm gonna cut you into little pieces." Do you laugh that off? Entertain it? Or embrace?
I mean, when you say entertain it, is that like, well, I guess I could let you do it. Here, let me grab a knife and let's sharpen it up and have you eat me.
I mean, entertain it like, all right, I'll bite. Let's see where this goes. Like, why do you want to cut me up?
Asking the wrong guy. I'd entertain the shit out of that. Really?
Run with it.
Really? You're going to eat me up, huh? You're going to cut me into little pieces. What kind of knife are you going to use?
All right.
Am I going to be awake? Am I dead? What are you going to do? Anyway.
How about this one?
Okay.
Here, these are all tweets or whatever. He says, my daughter was about 5 when she says, "You're the best mommy I ever had." I said, "I'm the only mommy you've ever had." She looks at me dead in the eyes and says, "No, you're the third one, but I like you the best."
Mommy's going to
trip me out.
Mommy's going to have a conversation with daddy.
Yeah.
Like, where did she get these other two mommies?
Or did she live previous lives? That's where my mind goes.
Do you think a child has lived Do you think a child is so innocent and so disconnected from reality that they actually have lived another life?
Maybe.
What does that mean?
Maybe their imagination is so deep. Like there's been a lot of stories of little kids like being on like these talk shows like, oh yeah, we're like the parents are like, we're very certain that little Martin was a fighter pilot in World War II. Here's why. He said his name was Harold Baines or whatever. And then they dig up all the shit on Harold Baines.
We did research on Harold Baines and realized
right. He
was a fighter pilot in World War II and he died fighting in that war.
Right.
And how did he know about Harold Baines?
And then the parents just like entertain it and they're like, were there parachutes? And the kid says, oh yeah. And they're like, oh my God, he knew there were parachutes. Oh, Michael, you're a hoot.
Oh, Michael Rode, keep it up. Anyway, yeah. All right. I mean, that one, I guess I'd be more curious. Like, I'd have to, like, entertaining it and, like, shutting it down. I don't think I'd ever shut it down.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're actually actively doing something that is dangerous.
Yeah.
It's one thing. But to let a child have an imagination, I think if it's dark, it's dark. But, you know.
Yeah, I just, a lot
you
of
you can't force puppies on somebody in unicorns.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a kid is always going to think there's monsters in my closet.
Yeah. And you can't give that legs. Otherwise, right. They'll run with it.
Yeah. Well, you know what I did with my nieces? My nieces said that same stuff. My nephew. And I said, well, let's go meet him. Let's go have a conversation with your monster.
See, Jenny would be like, oh my God, get out of here.
Yeah. Because Jenny believes that there's real monsters in her bedroom.
Check out this tweet. Walking with my 2-year-old in a cemetery by our house, she says, Mommy, who's that man in the red jacket by the stone house? She pointed to a mausoleum. There was no one else in the cemetery.
Ooh.
He's waving at me. She waved back. He's coming over to talk. What do you do? Are you like, don't fucking shut up. Shut the fuck up. Like,
I'm like,
nothing.
Bitch, run. Run, bitch, run. I don't know. I mean, what do you do? I'm curious to meet this person that she sees in the cemetery that I don't see.
I would get the chills. And
would
I'd be
you?
Like, Mox, we're leaving. Like, for real? You see this person?
You
we
see
gotta
this
go.
Person?
Like, that would scare me. That would scare me real bad.
I mean, it's pretty nutty.
How about this one?
Wow.
I was hiking alone in the woods with my son, who was 7. It was eerie quiet. And out of nowhere, he says, the woods demand a sacrifice.
I mean, I definitely would say, what's the sacrifice, right? You're curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to ask.
Wait, what the fuck's going on, son?
Yeah, exactly.
You got something to tell me?
Like, you're afraid? Like, the part of you is just so, like, sacrifice. And you see him, like, all of a sudden he's got a handgun and he's loading bullets into, a revolver.
Yeah.
Where did you get that handgun? Sacrifice, Dad.
Sacrifice.
Somebody's got to.
Blood must have blood.
Blood for blood. Right. Absolutely.
Here's another one.
Okay.
The kid says, we're all going to die. The mom says, I know, sweetie. That's just part of life. You're going to die tomorrow. What do you do as a parent of that kid? You have to keep it together for the kid. You can't like start crying.
To me, it's just like asking questions, man.
This kid proclaimed you're going to die tomorrow.
Yes, I know, but my response to that is why? How do you know that?
Hmm.
I mean, for me, it's just that's the curiosity piece. Like, okay, so I'm going to die tomorrow?
Yeah.
How am I dying?
What's the deal?
What's the deal? What's the deal with me dying? Why am I dying? Why am I a Jerry Seinfeld character on every single question my child will ever ask me?
Yeah, I never asked those questions as a kid.
No.
I was a kid who would like stay at, like my mom went to school.
Right.
While we were like little.
Right.
And she'd come back from like university at night.
Uh-huh.
I was the one who would like sit at the window and be like, is she alive? Is she dead? Is she going to come home?
Nope,
and then
yeah,
like,
you'd
see the car pull up, my run upstairs.
Be like, okay, she's alive. I can go to bed.
Yeah. I was a very like superstitious.
Hey man, I was the same way.
Kid like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom would come home late quite often. Like for me, it was late. It was like between 9 and 10.
Right.
And it was always one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, she's not home yet. This is weird.
She's dead. Yep. Definitely dead.
She's dead. She's got to be dead. There's no other question.
You want one more?
Yeah, throw one more at me.
Okay. Let me try to find a good one. When my niece was 7, she asked us why we were keeping all the dead grandmas in the attic. And then she laughed.
And then she laughed like, yeah. Why are we keeping all the dead grandmas in the attic? Because all the dead grandpas are in the basement.
Creepy ass kids, man.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
I don't know. I just thought that was a fun article. And with Moxie talking about, like, there's a ghost. Right. I'm always just like, shut up, Mox. There ain't no ghosts.
Eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jenny, she gets too freaked out. She thinks there's orbs in the fucking baby monitor. It's dust.
I know. Like, Jenny, I love you to death, but, you know, there's no orbs.
How can a 2.0 megapixel pick up a ghost?
To be fair, like, a 2.0 megapixel is probably picking up dust, and it gets so close and it's so grainy that it actually looks like an orb.
It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Hello there, Dank Odies. I am Joe Merle.
I am Phil.
And together we are Those Movie Guys Podcast, here with your weekly movie recommendations. And this week, Phil, I'm going with 2002's Dog Soldiers, directed by the great horror maestro, Neil Marshall. It just showed up on Prime. It is now available there. One I hadn't watched in probably about a year, but might be my favorite werewolf movie. It's just absolutely a perfect blend of military action and really great practical looking werewolves. And it's a lot of fun. I think for someone who didn't even like horror movies, you could still really enjoy Dog Soldiers. There's great characters across the board. What's his name? Sean Pertwee.
I don't believe you, but okay.
No. This really is a great, this isn't one of those Joe loves a horror movie. So he's
sure.
Truly is a great, you would probably know Neil Marshall did The Descent. He's a great director, great writer, great director.
Okay.
And this, I think you would truly enjoy and everybody would enjoy. So that's my pick this weekend. What do you got for us?
Mine is from, last year. I say this year, this past year, 2018. It is Eighth Grade, directed by Bo Burnham, written by Bo Burnham. Elsie Fisher stars in it. It just follows her around in her eighth grade, ending of her eighth grade year, and just the awkward times of, you know, that whole process. You're going from middle school to high school, and
that transitional.
Everybody's so fucking weird in middle school.
I'm going to take your advice this week because it's one that I really want to see, and I saw it just showed up on Prime. So I added it to my queue. Really been wanting to see Eighth Grade, heard nothing but good things. So I'm glad to hear that you are recommending it, because that means it's probably a pretty good one. So those are your recommendations this week. We've got Eighth Grade and Dog Soldiers, both on Amazon Prime. So if you got Prime Video, you can check both those out there. And for Those Movie Guys Podcast, I am Joe Merle.
I am Phil.
And we'll be back next week with more movie recommendations.
Dude.
What's up?
Be happy that you stopped smoking.
I am super happy about that.
You need to be happy.
Why is that?
Well, you know why.
What?
Why?
Smoking tax?
No. Do you see about the e-cigarette guy?
No.
An e-cigarette guy died. A guy smoking an e-cigarette.
Of e-cigs?
No. He died because the thing he was smoking blew up in his face.
Oh, was it an e-cig or like a vape? Like a vape?
It was an e-cigarette. It was an e-cigarette.
Like one of those Steven Dorff like blue e-cig things?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure if it was a Dorff, what's the word? Dorff.
Dorff stick?
Yeah, the Dorff stick, if it's not like, you know, Dorff endorsed. But yeah, man, like, when are these kids going to learn?
It blew up in his face.
It blew up in his face and killed him.
Jesus. What, when the acid or something in the batteries? Probably?
I'm guessing something like that. I mean, if it exploded enough, you know, when are these kids going to learn smoking kills?
It was a tough moment in my life when I was off cigarettes. And on the vape, and then coming to the realization that this vape is also bad.
Really?
Like, I thought I kicked the smoking. I was like, this is great. I've got my new thing. I really like this.
It's going to work out. No big deal.
Strawberries and cream.
Absolutely.
And then, like, you know, you're hearing about popcorn lung and Jenny was pregnant. And I was like, nothing I put in my lungs is going to be good for me. So it's done.
I mean, anytime, you know, you do things in moderation. It makes sense. Yeah. But like, if you're sucking things into your lungs
more than you're breathing,
like not even more than you're breathing, because you're breathing air more than you're smoking a cigarette. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's that idea. Like if you do it every day and then you do it like four times a day and then it becomes eight times a day. And even then, even if it's not that, you know, after over 30 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's hours upon hours that turn into days upon days of you not breathing air.
Absolutely. It's crazy.
It's know? Just, you got to use, I'm okay with the vapes and e-cigs.
Right.
I think they're a great
means to break the habit.
Yeah. But you need to use them as such.
Like think of it that way.
Yeah. Like you use it as like, okay, I'm done with the actual cigarettes. I need to use this as a quitting device.
Right.
It can't be your next device.
Right.
But damn, he died.
Died. Dead.
Just sucking one back. Explosion in the face.
Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy. It was a vape pen, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's an e-cigarette. What is it? The article reads, a Texas man died of a massive stroke after the e-cigarette he was using exploded and tore his cardioid? What is it? Carotid artery? How do you say that? It's basically his throat. It's what's supplying blood to his head.
Yeah.
It killed him. Good God.
Well, the other thing is there's no regulations on these. Well, if there is, there's very limited regulation on these vape pens.
Right.
Like they're just mass producing random shit in China that vaporizes the oil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And the batteries aren't trusted or well tested. You're charging these things in your outlets.
Right.
And then you're putting them close to your mouth and like trusting that this thing isn't gonna just
blow up in your face,
your fucking throat.
I mean, this guy's dead because of it, but it's like he's not the like there's so many of these weird little moments that where people have died. And then the other news, the coroner came back. Did you see this with the Dodger game?
Oh yes.
That a woman was struck in the head at a Dodger game.
Yeah.
By a baseball, and it killed her.
Yeah, she's dead.
Yeah, and the coroner just released that information just recently.
Damn.
It's nuts, man.
You gotta live your life like every day is your last.
You never know. You're going to go to a baseball game, get hit in the head. You're going to bum a smoke off your buddy's e-cig and it explodes in your face and cuts your, you know,
Woo-ba.
Carotid artery around. Boom, you're just bleeding out the neck.
Or you do this. Don't ever go to baseball games and never smoke e-cigs.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
Everybody should do that.
Then you will never die.
Nope. You'll live forever.
Ever.
Forever young. I want to be forever young.
Do you really want to live forever
and ever?
You're a bed guy.
What does that mean?
Like you love your bed. You love your thread count. You're a sheets, bed, laying around guy.
My mantra is, it's not really a mantra, but I believe, you know, we spend a third of our life sleeping.
Yeah.
Why not be comfortable?
Right. And I don't know when it was, but I was just thinking about how weird it is that once you are legally bound to somebody, you share a bed. Like we live our entire lives. We sleep train a child. We sleep train a baby to sleep by herself, himself, whatever self.
Right.
Then you grow up into a big boy bed, big girl bed, whatever.
Right.
That's also by yourself.
Yes, it is.
Then, you know, later down the road, you meet someone, you decide you want to spend the rest of your life with that person.
You fall in love.
Then you are, I mean, it's unwritten, but you're basically required to then share a bed.
No.
For the rest of your life?
No, man.
It's a strange concept to me. And I was just like, you know, like you can abstractly think about something like a word like for elf when he's like Francisco. That's a neat word. I was just like sharing a bed. It's kind of strange.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you're getting that sense. Like, you know, my grandparents, they slept in separate rooms.
Really?
Yeah, they were married for 50 years.
And I mean, was there problems? Like most people associate that with like problems.
Yeah, they probably do. But like, I can't speak for my grandparents, but you know, they were married for 50 years. Maybe they had some ups and downs, but I don't imagine my grandmother or my grandfather, like my grandfather was torn up when my grandmother died.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, let's say you came over to my house and like all my shit was like downstairs on the couch.
I would definitely think that there's a problem.
Yeah. I was like, hey, it's all good.
Yeah, but my grandparents...
Me and Jenny sleep in different beds.
But my grandparents weren't moving out. I think my grandparents traded rooms because my grandpa didn't like my grandma snoring and my grandmother didn't like my grandfather snoring.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, we'll snore in our own rooms.
We'll just...
Oh, because they would snore up a storm.
Yeah.
I would sleep in the same bed with my grandma and she was just like she was sawing logs. She was the best. Gosh, she was amazing.
Yeah, I snore pretty bad. Jenny kind of snores pretty bad too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a race to fall asleep first. Otherwise, you're in for it.
Yeah, Madeline's knocked me a couple times. I tend to saw some logs every now and again.
Yeah. Is that a phrase?
Saw logs. Yeah, man, that's saw logs. Heard saw logs? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, man, that's a term.
But yeah, like, could... I like back in the day, like I Love Lucy days, they had two separate beds in the same room, but two separates.
Right, right.
Would that be an issue today, you think? I mean, for lovemaking, I can see where if you each had a double bed, like that would be a little cumbersome, you know?
Right.
But other than that, if you had two queens, same room.
Just two queens, same room, put them together, you got Ultra Queen.
Ultra Queen.
You've got her mother, the Majesty. It's called Majesty's Queen.
But why is it? Why did someone say, like, now we sleep in the same bed?
Why?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm thinking of it from a survival standpoint, maybe do it for warmth.
Okay.
On your own, together, you're warmer when you're together. So you naturally... sleep together. Like if I'm thinking of it as from the standpoint of like cavemen,
like sort of barbaric, like this is
like
mine.
Barbaric, but also, you know, the social understanding of a nomad group that wanders.
Yeah.
You know, there might be an alpha man in there that kind of has his way with all the women, but you also come to determine that the stronger is the people that are actually mixing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would think.
You think it's a possessive thing?
Maybe there's some possession there, but I think it more has to do with like body heat and keeping each other warm in times of like coldness and like, you know, survival's based off of like being together anyway.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I don't fully know the answer to that, but I'm just assuming.
Do you think that in 20 years, the way social norms are going where, you know, for instance, like a woman didn't necessarily work in the workforce back in the day and would take care of the family. That has now evolved to two income households. Both people are working. Both people are strong, self-sufficient. Do you think that in 20 years, at some point there will be the bed split?
No.
No.
No, I don't think so. I actually think as populations continue to grow and we continue to kind of like, you know, reproduce and there's more and more of us, affordable housing is going to shrink up and the places you live will be smaller.
Yeah.
And
you can already kind of see that
those with lower incomes will be kind of forced to be closer together.
Right.
I mean, to live in Los Angeles, you kind of have to have two incomes.
Yeah.
Especially to live in Los Angeles properly or with some kind of degree of comfort, you need to live in, yeah, it needs to be that way.
Yeah.
So I would say in, you know, 20 to 40 years, there's that. I also think it's a matter of like, I think we're coming into this weird era where you're right. Like you make a statement where you have two working parents
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't the norm 40 or 50 years ago when you would have two working parents. So you got to ask yourself the question, like, what's the effect that happens in the home when you have two working parents?
Yeah.
How does that affect the child? And like, there's a lot of people that have been raised by nannies.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can afford to pay for a nanny to take care of them, or maybe they can't. Maybe they have a family member that comes and lives with them. But, you know, what effect does that have on the kid? And I think that those children that are being born today that move into that will kind of fall back on that traditional idea, because a lot of these ideas are recycled or kind of repurposed or reused.
Right.
So I can see something like that happening, where it's like, we want to fall back on a more of a traditional mindset where we sleep in the same beds together. One person works, the other person stays home. I mean, I don't know if that's realistic, if jobs are turned that way, if income in 40 years is the same.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at 40 years ago from today. I actually don't think there's been that much change 40 years from today, because 40 years from today is almost, it's like, what is it, 77?
Yeah, a ton has changed.
I mean, a ton's changed technologically, but socially, I mean, I don't know how much has changed. We're still fighting over the same things.
True.
We're still arguing over the same things. There's still a division. It's just now people are more vocal about it. And because right. things have gotten smaller, we're all more aware of each other. And at the same time, we're all kind of, like, a lot of people are feeling like they're forced to like fight for survival in something that they really don't have to fight for. It's there for them. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You can just like work with people.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I know that was like a much longer explanation to the question you just asked, but it was.
No, it's interesting. I don't know. I think that there just like there will be a renaissance, like styles that come in and out.
There
like,
is.
Like tight jeans are now cool again. Flannel's back. That sort of stuff. And then that trickles into the home of like, oh yeah, split beds.
Right.
Let's do this. She works late. I work, you know, early.
Right.
We need separate beds.
It's funny because the idea of the 80s is kind of reemerging with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where those kids' parents, they were born in that era. They kind of brought along those ideas. The things that you saw as a kid, you're imprinting on your children now, saying you should watch this.
Mm-hmm.
You should experience this because I love this. This is what made me me.
Yeah.
So these kids are then taking that and then they're assimilating that information and then creating something different and original.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's what happens. Like they recycle so much of this shit. Like there was a period of time where kind of like bell bottom type pants.
Oh, those are back.
We're back.
Yeah.
Like in the early 2000s.
Boot cut.
Yeah. Like, and that's not like full bell bottoms weren't, but this new kind of trend was.
Yeah. This like.
Right. And that was 30 years ago.
Oh yeah.
So you see these transitions, you see these like reinventions of the things that once made society. And right now you're seeing it with beards. You're seeing it with hats.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're seeing a really old grab on a traditional era of like the 20s.
Fedoras.
And the 10s. Like people aren't wearing baseball caps. They're getting like fancy made hats. Yeah. Hat makers are cool.
Right. I'm still wearing baseball hats.
Oh yeah. And the beanies and these cool like winter hats.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You gotta. You can name a cockroach after your ex in time for Valentine's Day, and it costs $2.
What? What are you talking about?
There is the Hemsley Conservation Center has come up with this unusual way to get back at your ex. And the center's latest program is that you can name cockroaches after your former lover if you're feeling petty on Valentine's Day. But I think we should name a cockroach Dan and Cody.
I think so too.
For $2? I mean, that's good
promotion.
It's just
called Dan and Cody?
Yeah.
And then what happens?
So
we name it and then what happens?
The names of the insects will be on a conservation center's roach board at its cockroach enclosure.
Oh, I like that.
So there's this big board, and it's going to be like all these names of people who they hate. And
Tiffany, Stacy, E, Jenny.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Yeah.
I like that.
For $2?
For $2, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah. Hemsley wrote on its website that the program was launched just in time for Valentine's Day. For those who don't quite require revenge, there's another way to make you feel better about getting back at your ex.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So get back at your ex by calling it, by naming a roach, and then go ahead and send her the link.
Right. And in addition to naming the roach, the participants get a certificate.
Really?
So we'll get a certificate that we have this cockroach.
Oh, that's cool.
Named Dan and Cody Podcast.
You know what I'd like to do? Here's an idea. So you got a girl. She treated you like shit. Here's what you do. You go in, you take people's babies' dirty diapers. You package them in a package.
Ooh.
And you send them a dirty diaper.
Oh, God.
And in that box, it's a special box, and it has a Wi-Fi transmitter that has a camera attached to it.
Yeah.
So then you can open it, and it'll take a picture of her.
Like the ring.
Yeah. So when she opens it and she sees it, she's like, what? And you have like maybe you have a piece of paper over the top. She reads the paper. She looks at it and then she moves it. And then all of a sudden, flash picture. And oh my gosh, it's dirty diaper.
Did you see, did I share that with you? The video of the guy who like rigged Amazon packages for like booby trapped.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about it on the podcast.
Sent the glitter.
Right.
Up
right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you. Yeah. We talked about it on the podcast. Cause I also told you about this guy that works with Madeline that like put his dog's crap in boxes and then they would steal his packages and like, you know, in the end he knew he won.
There was a website that somebody gave me years ago that you could send whomever anonymously an animal's poop.
You could send them anonymously an animal's poop?
Yeah, like elephant, orangutan, regular monkey, ape.
Anyone.
Yeah, you just buy it.
Interesting.
And they deliver it anonymously, but it's like someone hates you.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So somebody has access to these animals in the first place.
Right.
So you know it's somebody that works at a zoo.
Possibly.
It's got to be.
Yeah, let me...
Unless you're making so much money from this fecal that you can raise and contain these animals. And then I imagine even if you are to own and keep these animals, you have to have some kind of like special exotic animal permit, right?
Yeah, or you're like ordering it. Yeah, it's called poopsenders.com. But how petty can you be? Have you ever had a breakup that bad that you want to send them poop?
No.
I think I have.
Nothing where like I've had like heartbreaks, right?
Yeah.
But I've never had anything where I'm like, I want you dead or anything like that. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, poopsenders.com, they're marketing themselves as the ultimate gag gift. Sweet revenge at its finest. Guaranteed anonymous. And you can, $18 is elephant.
Really?
$18.95. And then gorilla is $19.95.
Okay.
And then for $44.95, you can get a combo pack.
No way am I interested in something like that.
No.
No.
Okay. You wouldn't want to send anyone in the world.
No.
Anyone in the world.
Nope.
Trump?
No, man. He's already got that stuff. I don't have to do that. There's other people sending him that garbage.
And their slogan is, we'll never tell.
Hey, man, I don't hate Trump. I don't hate Trump. I think he's dumb, and I think he's an idiot. And unfortunately, he is the leader of America. But... I have nothing. I don't know him personally, so I can't judge. All I know is the sideshow that he lives his life by.
What he portrays.
Right. I mean, like, you know, whatever.
Right. So if you're interested in naming a cockroach, I'll put a link to it in our show notes. But the proceeds go towards the Hemsley's projects.
The Hemsley's projects.
Yeah. According to their website.
Okay, cool.
Adopt a roach. Name it after someone you hate.
Yeah. Well, Dan.
Well, Cody.
What time is it?
I think it's time for our champion of the week.
champion.
Do you have one?
Of the week. Yeah.
Oh.
All right. So this week's champion.
This week's champion.
The Golden Globes Fiji Water Girl.
What?
Yeah.
Why is she the champion of the week?
Because she is suing the shit out of Fiji Water.
Oh, really?
Really.
They told her to stand in that one spot the whole time.
No.
What?
She got so popular off of that, right?
Uh-huh.
Off of being in every... If you don't know, this girl, she's a very attractive girl. She's an actor and a model, I guess. She was supposed to hold Fiji Water on like this silver plate.
Right.
And then she basically... Throughout the red carpet show that they do before the awards, she would sort of insert herself in every background shot of every actor. And like she caught fire on the internet, Twitter, Instagram. Everyone's like, oh, Fiji Water Girl. She's so awesome. She's in every shot. This is amazing. Well, Fiji was like, hell yeah.
Right.
Let's market this chick.
Right.
So they went ahead and started making like cutouts of this girl,
right,
as the Fiji Water Girl, and putting her into stores,
right.
And guess what? They didn't ask her for her permission. So she was like, you know what, fuck that, I'm my own person.
Yep.
I got myself famous while working for Fiji. They don't know my face,
right?
They don't know my likeness.
Yep.
So they were like, oh yeah, we were gonna pay you. We were going to give you some money, but here's this contract or whatever that we'll draw up for you to help to hook you up. And she was like, hell no.
I'm not signing anything now.
Yeah. Now you're getting sued. You made cardboard cutouts of me.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
Good for her.
Her name is Kelleth Cuthbert. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's a pretty terrible name.
Kelleth Cuthbert.
She naturally had the lisp.
Whose real name is Kelly Steinbeck.
Interesting.
She has sued Fiji Water Company and The Wonderful Company, claiming they used her viral internet fame to promote their product.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Go get it.
You don't see a lot of that.
No.
And I think she's got legs. She's got legs to stand on here.
She's got legs.
She knows how to use it.
So you have this champion of the week, but Dan... Mm-hmm. I've got a better, like a truer champion of the week.
Oh, do you?
I do.
And you you better hit that button again then.
Forgot what it was. There it is.
The champion of the week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Dan. So we got to give a shout out to Mehran Torgoli, a friend of ours, a fellow man, person, human that has stood tall. But he sent out this thing that Seth Meyers did.
Ooh. I did it last week.
When I was gone?
Yeah.
Never mind. This is what happens when you don't listen to your own podcast. Wow, that's a real Barney move. Well, I guess I don't have a champion of the week, but thank you, Mehran, for being super dope.
Mehran, we love you,
buddy.
You
made me think about you again, pal. So
that is a cool story, though.
Absolutely.
But I don't know how the hell that I would, how I would handle being at a bachelor party I know no one. You think you could navigate that?
Are you kidding me? I'm born and bred to navigate bachelor parties that I don't know anybody at.
I don't know. You have a short fuse, you know, like you'd come out blazing, but then you would get extraordinarily tired.
Oh, and I get what you're saying.
Not a short fuse, like temper.
Like a temper. No, no. I was like, do I get really pissed that easy? I'm not aware of that.
For those of you who don't like Cody, like expires.
Yes.
He's very much so Cinderella at the ball.
Yes. That is a good way to put it.
So you will get a window of like Cody bonanza.
Right.
And then at the stroke of midnight, or normally 10 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
maybe 9:15.
Depending on, yeah, but absolutely.
Cody gets this wave of like, ugh.
It's time to go to bed. I don't want to do this anymore.
Like, for example, right now it is 9:11 p.m. on a Tuesday.
And I'm getting the I'm done vibes.
I'm getting, I'm hitting my wall for the day. I mean, you know.
You're up at like 3:30.
I'm up early. I like to get up early. This morning last night I was out late.
Yeah.
And luckily for work, I had this really great experience where I kind of was telling you about this the other day, but I was lucky enough to go to Disneyland when it was closed.
Which is awesome.
And so we got to go behind the scenes, go behind the veil of Disney for work. And pretty interesting to see.
Yeah, when can you talk about everything?
I mean, I don't know if I can't talk about it, but I'm not going to like
get in.
I'm not going to get into it. But essentially, one of the most famous ride at Disneyland that kicked off a franchise that has been there since 1967 was a ride that we got to go into and see with all the lights on and nobody riding it.
Could you like walk around the...
Yeah, we could walk around. We walked around all of those places. We got to walk into the cave sections of it, which were really cool. And it was pretty amazing.
Is it sort of like an unveiling? Like now you know, and like you'll never be able to ride it again.
There's some people that would have issues or like be like, oh, I don't feel good about this.
You lost the magic.
That was what they were saying the whole time. We don't want you to, you know, show people because you'll lose the magic.
And they use that term?
Yes. That's the whole key is like there is magic at Disneyland and everybody like drinks this Kool-Aid, which is great. I mean, they're all happy, amazing people to talk to. You know, it is that thing where they are definitely out there promoting their thing. And this is what you come to realize is when you're on these rides, you have to take a real, realistic approach and realize that these have to be working functional pieces to keep people safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think about that when you're like, you know, riding when you're in the Haunted Mansion or the Indiana Jones ride or Pirates of the Caribbean or any of the, or like It's a Small World After All. Like you go through these things and you don't realize like all of this stuff is built on a frame setup that you're like, oh.
And the hidden goal is don't kill anybody.
Right. The hidden goal is not that nobody dies and everybody has a great, incredible experience. And Disney has mastered that. And, you know, it's the people they hire and it's how everybody just buys into the world. And that's, you know, I got to salute them for that. They do a really, really wonderful job.
Did you hear the story of the guy who jumped out of Space Mountain and they had to shut it down?
He died.
He died.
Right?
I'm not sure.
I thought he had died. I thought the guy died when he was in Space Mountain. But I mean, that's just me like trying to remember the headline that I read. I didn't read the article. But yeah, I mean, these are all, like all of this stuff is dangerous. You got to be careful. But we went to there last night and there was no rain. And then we went and when we went and had dinner, it just like poured on us. It was crazy.
Did you get into like the club?
No.
Is that on the table? Can you get in there? Club 33 or
club
whatever?
Club 33 is like the big club. Apparently they got clubs in all of these places, right? Mm-hmm. But Club 33 is the big... It's the big elite Disneyland club that...
It's like a secret society.
Well, I don't think it's a secret society. It's pretty obvious that it's there. It's the only place in the park that serves booze. And it's also one of those things where you have to pay to be a member. And the waiting list is... It's a lot of years. And it's like... I don't know if it's like 50 grand, if it's 100 grand. I don't know what it costs.
There's definitely.
But you pay the fee to be a part of, be a member. And then at that point, you can go in and then you pay for your food and stuff. And it's always like gourmet stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they have like a 5-star chef that works it and all alcohol. That stuff. Right. Absolutely. So it's a pretty big deal.
So listen, this is the guy 5 days ago. Disneyland had to close Space Mountain after a visitor jumped off mid-ride. I don't know how the hell you do this. You're like, before the ride, you're locked in.
Are you on Space Mountain?
Yeah.
Over the shoulders? I thought it was just the bar.
Maybe you're right.
I thought it was just you, like you sat down and you sat in the bar and it holds you into place.
I think it's an overhead thing.
I don't think so, dude.
I feel like it is. So, it was shut down. Unidentified man reportedly in his 20s. Okay. Was on Space Mountain roller coaster when he climbed out of the ride and jumped down while it was moving.
Wow.
That ride's never slow. How the hell are you? And it's like pitch black in there.
Yeah.
How the hell are you?
Like doing the man that? Intended to do this.
Yeah.
He would have had to have tried to get out of his seat and put himself in that position when he sat down in the car.
Yeah. It's quoted as saying he had to maneuver himself around the safety mechanism, Anaheim Police Sergeant Darren Wyatt said, referring to the safety lap bar in each of the ride's cars.
Yeah, it's a lap. I thought so.
Yeah. So they responded to the incident and administered aid to the man, who was said to have walked on his own to a first aid station within the park and appeared to be uninjured. Do you get arrested after that? You must.
I mean, you would have had to have done something, right? Yeah, I would imagine there's some kind of thing, unless, I don't know, unless Disney would be like legally afraid to do anything at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
The man reportedly had cognitive disabilities. What's that?
Like thinking disabilities, like decision-making disabilities. Cognition is like being aware of yourself and making choices. And
so he was a special needs person.
Yes.
And he wiggled out of the moving ride while the roller coaster was making its slow climb up. Fuck. Before dropping down into its many high-speed twists and turns.
Right.
Jesus. They stopped the ride as soon as the man was discovered to have been missing. How would you discover that?
The ride parks up and somebody's not in the seat.
But is someone watching? So someone's watching while you're going
yes.
up?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In the experience that I saw, there were cameras all over the place.
So they're watching.
They're watching.
Every movement.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know about every movement, but I would think... Like in something
even in
like
those
that,
dark rides where there's pitch black there.
Yeah, of course. But it's not even that. Say you didn't watch it. Space Mountain, the ride pretty much always fills up. And unless it's a slow night, you're not going to think twice.
Yeah, you're like, why is this car empty?
Yeah, there's something missing here. And anybody that would have been in that car and in the seat ahead of him or behind him would know that he's missing.
You'd be screaming like, somebody jumped out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So people know. It's not like that's...
The man was taken to a hospital for a precautionary examination, Disney confirmed, and no police report was filed. So
okay,
they were good with it.
That's crazy.
And park officials called the incident extremely rare.
Of course it is. That's a death sentence. That's something somebody rare. Wants to do to themselves. That's crazy.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's insane. That's crazy.
Don't fucking jump out of rides, guys. Don't do it. Don't you do it.
So that's it.
That's a wrap on this week.
That's the Dan and Cody podcast for you on the week, huh?
Guys, thank you all so much for listening every single week.
Yeah, we love to love you. But before we go, I think it would be wise of us to say we love you.
We love you, and we do love Michael Tabb.
We do love Michael Tabb. We absolutely do. But Michael Rode gives us these incredible sounds. And this incredible sound. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to use those every week because they're terrible.
Also, we now have the ability to take phone calls very quickly. Like, we can have a phone guest at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's this Bluetooth thing. We just pair it to a phone.
We can have a call in. We can run an auxiliary line from our phone right into this thing to record it. And it's supposed to be beautiful. It's supposed to be a beautiful thing.
This opens the door to people not in Los Angeles who might potentially want to be on the Dan and Cody podcast.
Absolutely. But you know who you are. And then for those that don't know who they are, you know who you're not.
Find yourself.
Absolutely.
You need to know who you are before you want to get on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Put on a t-shirt and some sweats and a hat. Okay. Get some shoes. Why are you wearing those socks? Come on.
Get a job, get a shit, get a shower, get a shave.
Oh, and in not next week's episode, but the following week, we have a guest.
Ooh, who's the guest?
The guest is none other than the incredibly talented artist, Jonathan McAfee. I'm bad with last names, but he's from Denver. He did our Bill Murray painting.
All right.
And he's
beautiful painting.
And he's coming into town. It's very likely that Dan will not be with us for that episode.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But we'll definitely, we'll miss Dan, and Jonathan and I'll definitely dive into his experience as a portrait painter, because he does these incredible portraits. So check him out on Instagram. And I look forward to really sitting down and having a conversation with him. And we're living the dream.
Would he do us?
Oh, yeah. He'd probably do us for a fee.
Right.
I mean, nothing's free, baby.
No promo.
Yeah, absolutely. Do something dope, though, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a beautiful thing. Everybody have a wonderful week. Make sure to wear a hat.
Yeah.
And wear shoes.
God bless America.
Have a great week, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody Podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy and shit, all right?